Live from Martinsville Studios, it's Chasing Tone Podcast.
K103.com.
Very smooth, Bri. I had me fooled for a minute. I was like, what? Have I turned up to the wrong studio?
No, if it was broadcasting from Martinsville, it would be more like broadcasting from Martinsville, Indiana.
Yeah, it's your radio on to the Martinsville Country Music Station right there.
Today we're playing Yokel and the Dokels, and we're going to tickle them old strings, yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm beginning to think that Yokel and the Dokels is probably not a made-up band, and is probably the sort of music that Brian likes. Because as we've discovered today, Brian hates music.
Brian hates music.
I like some music. The other music I don't like that much. I don't... Again, it's
seems
just some
like
things
the music
I just don't
you don't like is of the high-quality variety.
Well, I mean...
Involving guitars. Lots of guitars. You're like, there's too much guitar in this guitar music.
It was just not good guitar. Like, if you want to hear good guitar music... And just strictly guitar music, then you got to go back to Passion and Warfare from Steve I. You know?
Sure.
You got
to. Who was also playing.
Who is on this track.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. The problem with this track that you guys sent me is, first of all, the song was pretty mediocre to begin with. And then the parts that people played on it just didn't hit home. It was not a home run at all.
Hold on a minute. I just got to make a quick call to Mark Knopfler. I understand he's in tears. He will never reconcile the fact that his hit song from a classic film is not something that Brian digs.
I just didn't like it. I'm sorry.
Hold on. I got a phone call coming in.
You're a wrong'un, Bri.
Yeah, Mr. Paisley? Oh, yeah.
I didn't like his part either.
You heard that right. Yeah, he didn't like it.
I dialed back a little bit.
He didn't use the Paisley drive on it. Wow. And he still, that's crazy. Well, you have to take it up with Brian then. Yep, I'm sorry. Now,
you know, listen to some Andy Wood and then come back to that. You'll be like, why is there not more Andy Wood?
I'm disappointed he wasn't on this. He was probably number 51. But essentially, just to fill the listeners in a bit, because we shot off cold again. There was a charity record, which I talked about last week, which is the theme from Local Hero, done by 50 of the greatest players around at the moment, and one who very much isn't around, Mr. Jeff Beck. And it's a lovely arrangement of all these different guitar styles, and they've done this fantastic video where essentially, in order that you can hear who's playing at each part, they roll the names through in credits. And I was like, this is so cool. Like, as it was playing, it would like highlight, let's just take a random name, David Gilmour's name, and then a few other names would come behind it, and he'd be like, oh, I didn't realize, and oh, imagine being in a room, and I thought, I gotta send this to Bri, he's gonna love this. The bit where it comes up and it's like Brad Paisley playing with Sting and Ringo.
That's
usually not how
that stuff
works. He was like, I did not care for this. I do not care for you, and I do not care for anything you may ever have to say for me again.
So when you're recording those types of songs, it's not everyone in the same studio at the same time.
What?
They'll ship it out. No, they ship it out to everybody. Yeah. So it's, you know, I mean, I know a lot of people that like did a record with one guitarist with another guitarist, and they never saw each other or talked about it. Like, they just did their part. They said, here's your
song. You're making it seem even more amazing, Bri. I mean, obviously, they didn't get 50 guitar players in a room. Imagine the ground hum when they all switched on. It would just be like, right, everyone pick up your guitars. So, yeah. And
every time I heard a part, I'm like, okay, I like that player, but it sounds like you've got 3 seconds to feel. Go! And I don't like that. Accurate. I'm not a fan of it.
I don't think that's what they did. I think they took the whole piece, and I think they all played the whole thing, and then they took all the parts and kind of mixed them in and out and rearranged it. That's what it sounded like to me, which I thought would be a lot of fun. That'd be a good time to be in the mixing chair.
I don't know. I don't know any producer that would do it that way. from what, at least the ones I've known that have done stuff like that, it's always been very, very scheduled. Like, you have 1 minute, you know, you have this bar to this bar.
See,
that's,
I your, get
that's
the
what
feeling.
You have.
I get the feeling they had little pockets. So in one studio, probably a few artists who were recording in that studio that week, kind of like, oh yeah, we've got to do this thing for Mark. Let's record our parts here. And I think there were bits that were played together and there were bits that were completely dialed in.
Probably.
Just the very fact that you got no pleasure from it at all, Bri. I mean, my hair stood on end when Jeff Beck introduced it. Like, his playing
nice.
Alone.
That's nice, but...
You are one hard act to please. Wow.
Yeah, I have a very limited scope of what I like. I agree.
Yeah. Skid Row
to Cinderella.
He likes
the peanut butter and yogurt of guitar. That whatever that is, what he likes.
I like Skid Row. I like Dokken, Lynch Mob even more, and Bren Mason and Brad Paisley. Outside of that, and Dan Huff. Outside of that,
And Pearl Jam.
I like Andy Wood, though.
Quite like Pearl Jam, don't you, Bri?
I like Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
I do like. I was a big fan of Pearl Jam for a while. Alison Gardens. Alison Gardens.
Alison Gardens. Is she a country singer?
Alison Gardens.
Yeah, Alison Chains.
I like Sound Chains. Sound Chains are my favorite.
Sound Chains is my favorite band. Alison Gardens, though, man, that's a banger.
Alison Gardens does sound like a country artist.
That could be your country nom de plume.
That's nice thinking. That's my next band name, Alison Gardens.
Like, if my wife came in and told me, I found this new singer that I just absolutely love, her name's Alison Gardens, I would be like, yeah, that pencils. Mm-hmm. Sure enough.
Well, Sound Chains.
So I don't think I'm ever going to win on the convincing Brian that Mark Knopfler's gang of 50 of the finest players on the planet is a worthy record to listen to. But listeners, I really enjoyed it.
Enjoyed it too.
It's a 3-minute song that they've strung out over 9 minutes. So there's quite a lot of repeated motifs in the music, no doubt about it.
You think?
Just a few. Well, one particularly. But at the same time, it's really well done. And I urge you all to listen to it. And as I said last week, buy the record because it's for a good cause. You know,
the truth is, if it was 90s country sounding, I probably would like it a lot more. That's probably where the problem is.
If only there was some sort of form of fake cleverness that we could use to turn it into 90s country. No, you're not doing that, Bri. That would be a terrible thing to do. One thing that I did think, though... Like I say, the Jeff Beck bits really like struck me because like you can't mistake his playing. And then this week I put on one of my random Apple curated playlists of like Jeff Beck essentials or whatever. And as I was listening to it, and like he traversed every single genre, and 90% of the time you would be able to go, that's Jeff Beck playing, but 10% he just fitted into the song and you'd be like, that's a great player. Oh, it's Jeff Beck. I was like, and Bowie hated this phrase, but was there nothing that he couldn't do? He really was the chameleon of rock guitar. Well, electric guitar, sorry, not rock guitar. He played every genre so, so well. And I don't know many other players like that. Can either of you attest to my vision, or do you think I'm speaking out of my rear crackage?
I mean, Andy Wood, the aforementioned Andy Wood, could probably be one of the few that would slide into pretty much anywhere.
That's a good show. And there are a lot of really good players, but I think Jeff was the top, and he was modest with it. Like, he was not known to be like, you know, Eric Clapton was known for his excesses and various other guitar players were. Jeff Beck was just known to be a great player, and he probably had some wild times in the 60s and 70s, but...
No, nobody had wild times in the 60s and 70s.
It was chill back then.
Everybody was just kind of just not doing cocaine.
Doing their tax, yeah.
Right. There was no LSD going on.
None.
None at all.
Yeah, the government wasn't supplying the hippie movement with that at all.
They weren't doing any tests on people.
No.
Yeah.
There's a great story in Elton John's autobiography, and it's probably one of the better ones about how you shouldn't go shopping after a cocaine binge. And I've been shopping after imbibing various substances and ended up regretting my purchase. I've never spent £2 million on a working tram from Australia, though. One that needed
but you
to
would
be
if you could.
Bought in via two Chinook helicopters, which apparently Mr. John did. But yeah, man, Jeff Beck. Listen to him more, Bri. You need to go on a Jeff Beck tip.
No, I mean, I've seen him in some actually before he passed. And yeah, I've listened to his stuff off and on the years. This is going to be sacrilegious, I know. Respect him as a player. Just wasn't, he's not like, he's not what I listen to. Just not the type of player I listen to.
But now I'm going to change your perspective with the powers of mind bending. So I get it. If you don't want to listen to him because he's not like your sort of music to listen to, brilliant. You ever tried just putting him on as like background guitar music while you're working?
Yes.
And?
I don't dig it. If there's guitar music going on,
I give up. So I just give up. I'm just trying to tell you about one of the greatest players of our generation.
There's a reason, like, though. I can't work and listen to guitar music. I can't
work and listen to most music anymore.
Yeah.
Because I'll just be like,
I'll just listen to music.
What? Yeah, I'll be like, whoa, what are they
really
doing?
Really? That's interesting. I can listen to anything as long as there's no lyrics to it. If there's lyrics, if someone's singing.
Some things like that I can. Like the lo-fi beat type stuff where I really don't care and it really is just very like the same.
Yeah.
That I can work to, but I'd rather not.
Like Brian, I'd rather just have to a 432 hertz tone.
Just a sine wave. Beep.
Daddy's working
if I have to think, honestly, it sounds kind of weird to say it like this, but if I have to do much thinking with the work at all, whether that's I'm writing something or I'm measuring and building things, I can't be distracted. I'm such
a
squirrel.
I don't get distracted by music, just by voices. The guitar spans the distraction gap a little. Because when Jeff plays, it's like someone singing. And that kind of draws you in a bit. But I can still tune it out. But I can't tune out words. If someone's singing, I can't concentrate fully if I'm writing. But if it's just music,
vibe. And guitar stuff, I'll start listening to textures and uses of effects. And mm-hmm. I just can't. I can't.
I do it in the grocery store.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
Whoa, what's that? Was that reverb?
Or yeah, I do that all the time. Like, wow, did you hear that reverb? My wife's like, what are you talking about? Like, it's just amazing.
She's like, no, Brian, get out of the stall. You're stuck in the bathroom. Stop it.
I literally have stayed in bathrooms just to hear parts. I'm like, sounds so good in this bathroom.
Just to hear parts. I get it.
Not to see parts, but to hear them.
Right.
No. Because like, if you're in a big tile bathroom and sometimes they'll play a song and you're like, this is just the perfect room reverb for this song. This is amazing. Well,
Brian's setting up microphones to get the IR.
That's how
plate reverb is made, right?
This is a McDonald's. Back off, I'm making IRs.
Oh, by the way, they're opening a McDonald's in my town. We already have a Five Guys and a Burger King, so it's not like we have a short and a KFC.
There's not enough heart disease in your town, apparently.
Apparently not. But the opening of a McDonald's will change the dynamic of my town. It will become a destination for young men with very large bore exhaust pipes and very colourful cars. There is no doubting it will change the dynamic of my sleepy little town.
Right, you're going to see lots of Cummins diesel stickers on vehicles, right?
Oh, what?
I was going to say, you know, a large bore exhaust pipe in the UK is like 3 inches.
No. My friend. Not anymore. They're like 6 inches. They're like stupid. These cars sound like someone is shooting a shotgun into the air. They're ridiculous. And normally, they're on cars with engines under 2 liters.
That's what I was going to say. Why do you need a 6-inch exhaust on a 1.5 liter Honda? That doesn't do a whole lot.
I think
lot.
My lawnmower has a bigger motor than that.
Yeah. you're preaching to the choir, my friends.
I'm going to fly down there or over there, up there, wherever, whichever direction, across the two there.
Across there?
Yeah.
You're going to fly in a general easterly direction, I would imagine.
Yes. And I'm going to talk to those young men about a little thing called back pressure. And if you have, if you're, you know, certain engines require a little bit of back pressure for optimum performance. You can't be having no 6-inch exhaust on a Honda Civic and expecting it to do anything other than be stupid.
It'll be loud.
They don't care, old man. Watch as they do donuts in the car park of McDonald's, because that's what's going
to
happen.
Watch as they do donuts and their 0 to 60 time is 7 seconds.
18 seconds, like, yeah.
Oh, 18 seconds, yeah, whatever.
I'm going to do donuts backwards, though. Got to do them backwards because I got front-wheel drive.
Put it in reverse.
That's
start
right.
Sliding around.
Exactly.
That's what Brian likes to do on his tractor. Speaking of Brian's, I watched a great, and this is more of a shout out for anyone who likes comedy. I watched a great comedy show, but it's actually a beautiful look at rock history. It's called The Life of Rock with Brian Pern, no relation to Brian Wampler. And it essentially takes a figure who is really just Peter Gabriel and like shows the history of rock through his eyes. And it's three seasons of 3 half-hour episodes on Amazon. If you're looking for something lighthearted, chaps, and you want a music focus, I give this a big 2 thumbs up. Brian, don't
negative.
Bother. Yeah.
Negative.
Who was the first man to use plasticine in a music video? What's wrong with you?
Is there George Lynch in it? I hate it.
George can't do everything, Brian. He's just one guy. He can't be in all forms of art.
He should be, though. He should be.
Mona Lisa, who painted that? Wasn't George Lynch?
Wasn't George Lynch. That sucks.
Yeah, not interested.
I don't hear any Brent Mason in that. Mm-hmm. It's a painting, sir. It sucks.
It's
that sucks bad.
Leonardo de what? He sounds like an idiot.
If he was a Leonardo de Mason, we might have something nice there, but hell no, not now.
Yeah, forget about it.
I mean, I'm not going to bring politics into this, but you mentioned an actor, so did he? Did he do it? Did he? That's all I'm saying.
No, we're not talking about that. That's unsettling.
It's very unsettling, but turns out...
There's a very appropriate It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia reference I could make right now, but I'm not going to.
Oh, so my daughter has told me to watch that, but she said skip season one. You just won't enjoy season one because there was no short guy, Danny DeVito.
You've never seen it?
I've seen some of it.
Oh, Richard.
Is it my next thing to watch? Okay.
Oh, Richard. You are in for such a miserable treat.
It's excellent.
It's so incredible. It's one of the best television shows of all time, and it's also horrible. So you're really like going to like it.
A miserable treat. So going on from the thing about the 50 brilliant guitar players that Brian hates every single one of them,
it made me think about
the studios that they recorded these in. And having recently done a piece for Warren on his Rockfield Masterclass, where he went to the Rockfield Studios in Monmouthshire, Wales, which is where famously Bohemian Rhapsody was recorded, and you see it in the film Bohemian Rhapsody. It got me thinking, what studio would you like to record your like number one album in? Take your time, Blake. Think about it, please.
Nope. I want to record at Blackbird. I want to go there real bad because they have everything.
Yeah, Blackbird would be great, man.
Mm-hmm.
And so where's Blackbird? Is that Nashville?
Nashville, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And who set up Blackbird?
I may have been there actually years ago. I forget. I was in so many studios for a while and I didn't know anything about studios back then.
As opposed to now when you are, of course, an absolute...
So when I first got in like doing stuff, especially with Brent, like I would drive down and bring a pedal to him to Nashville, right? Which is like 4 hours away. And he'd be like, I'm in this such and such studio. And I'd be like, cool. And I didn't think a thing about it until like years later when people were talking about studios and I started getting more into like recording and that sort of thing. And now I'm like, I should have paid more attention because I know there's some awesome studios I was in that I didn't ask anything about it. I just went in and did the thing, you know?
So let me get this right.
I love studios. I love hearing like the history about things. And yeah, I can.
I love studios too. But I just want to clarify something, Bri. you went to some of the world's finest studios and just breezed in, walked straight out again. Yet, if you're taken to Costco or Walmart, you'll go off and spend time in the bathroom looking for great reverbs.
Things,
do you see what I'm coming at here? It's not quite genuine.
Things have changed over the years. Things have changed over the years. I am a different person than I was in 2006.
The reason he breezed in and out is because he walked in and he's like, George Lynch? Nope. All right.
This sucks.
Yep.
This sucks.
Yeah. This studio sucks. Sir, this is RCA Studio B. Elvis recorded here. Sucks.
Did Dokken ever record here? This place blows.
I could just picture like a slightly different version of you with like a leather jacket on and a full skullet. And like a Marlboro in your mouth, like, this price sucks. Where's Dokken? But yeah, Blackbird's where I would go, because like I've dreamed of going to that place for a long time. I just want to see it, even let alone record there. Blackbird's, the drum sounds that come out of that place are bananas.
Yeah. I was at the castle. That was pretty cool.
The castle looks awesome. I've never been there. No, I've never been to any of the big Nashville studios. Well, I take it back. I did go to Infrasonic. That was sick. That's more of a mastering stuff place or mastering studio, but
yeah,
it's a very cool place.
So both of you would go Blackbird, essentially.
I mean, I don't know enough about studios to say I'd rather go to this place that's in the middle of Montana.
I mean, I figured you might pick 606, which is the Foo's studio. It's certainly not.
That would be a cool one.
Not historic, but it is a very cool studio. There's another room. And a lot of cool things have happened there.
What is a studio? I just got invited to one. What is it called in L.A.? Oh, I can't remember the name of it. And I just sent the producer a pedal, too.
Oh, you're going to be in trouble. Oh, Brian's thinking about that. Richard, which one would you pick?
Well, look, I'm English.
One-on-one. There you go.
So it would 100% be Abbey Road.
I thought you were going to say that.
The place where they recorded Dark Side of the Moon and the White Album essentially next to each other. How could I not want to go there? That would be it.
So Richard, I just want to say this.
A close second.
I'm just putting this out there into the world as well. Abbey Road is a lot easier for you to get to than it is for anybody else on this podcast. And as a representative of Wampler Pedals, I'm just saying it's not the craziest thing in the world to imagine you to get to set foot in there and look around.
Warren Hewitt recently did some work up there, and I was like, sure, do you need me to come and deliver you any pedals, Warren? Do you need me to come and sign any books for you? Come on. But no, not a tickle. I didn't get in. But yeah, I'm definitely going to try and get there at some point. Reminds me of the question that I really wish that I'd asked Nick Mason, the drummer of Pink Floyd, take a shot. When I met him a couple of years back, I don't know whether I've mentioned that enough, but let me just pick that name up off the floor. he would be a huge fan of the Beatles too, and I really should have asked him what it was like to be recording Dark Side of the Moon in the studios next to the Beatles doing, you know, their magnum opus, as it were.
Yeah.
But no, stupidly, I asked him really stupid, irrelevant questions, which he pranked me on. But
do you like Evans or Remo better?
what angle do you set your
drum
beater
tips
at?
You got on them sticks there, bub?
Yeah, you got like a nylon tip on there? You like those grippy sticks? What are you into?
Y'all wear gloves when you play drums. I love wearing my gloves.
Fingerless gloves.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the fashion for you, Brian. I swear that guitar is just a fashion statement for you. That's why you don't like any quality players. Just Brent Mason.
Oh, I love quality players.
You like his tight shirts.
I love a lot of quality players. I mean, like,
actually, I did see Brent on the Chris Shiflett podcast the other day. You know, I kind of felt it interesting that Chris started a podcast after appearing on ours. I kind of feel like he's ripping us off somehow.
I'm joking. That's exactly what he's doing. Yep.
I'm joking. But no, Brent was on it. And he said some interesting things, but he did not speak how I... It was the first time I've ever really heard him speak. He did not speak how I expected to hear him speak. Isn't that a funny thing?
Oh, yeah? How did you expect him to speak?
Yeah.
I don't know, kind of more like I'd expected, I guess, but less like I'd not expected. What kind of question is that? I'm just going to say something rude about a man that we work with. I'm not, because...
No, I'm just saying I get that all the time. Like, oh, except in reverse. They're like, oh, I've heard your voice for years, and you don't look like I thought you would. I'm like, how did you...
You look exactly like your voice. I'm just going to let you know that. If your voice...
Not according to some people on the internet.
Well, what do the internet know? I wonder if there's going to be any kickback on the taco super bolt or whatever it is. Because, like, it is literally just a bolt that's had a screw twisted a little bit. Do you think...
Screw? You mean a trim pot?
You changed directions on this podcast so fast, I don't even know what you're talking about right now.
Well,
I
noticed Brian dropping off.
Or are you talking about screws? Or are you talking about Brent Mason? Or are you talking about... What,
all of them.
What in the world are you talking about, Richard? What is going on?
I am talking about the trim pot that... selects the bias between the transistors in the super
on
bolt.
What on the Mason snare drum, like what are we talking about here?
So there's this studio where Mark Knopfler records at. Do you know who Mark Knopfler is, Bri?
Didn't he used to make tacos for Taco Bell?
That's it. I'm just trying to I'm conscious that we're not talking enough guitar gear, so I'm injecting some controversial guitar gear material right now. Disclaimer, it's not JHS's fault if you start paying stupid money for their pedals.
Hold on. No, I learned this lesson the hard way. Whenever you have a pedal like the Tumnus, like the Geranium Tumnus, and you only have a limited amount of diodes, you suck as a company because you don't just go find more.
Duh.
You're profiting off the used sales, Richard. Don't you know this?
I know I am. I bought four of them. No, oh, wait. Yeah. My cover is blown.
Yeah.
So you bought four of them or you sold four of them?
Really,
either way.
It's Josh's fault because he could have made more of these. He didn't. So he's really the one at fault here. I'm using sarcasm for those listening.
He's being deadly serious. That's not sarcastic.
I did see that not the same people, but people in the same way familiar got just faces as mad.
And familiar comments. Yeah.
How dare you limit the supply of my guitar pedals, which I didn't want at all like 30 minutes ago. But now I all of a sudden do because you made a video on YouTube about it. So I have to have it.
I like I like this thought. Maybe we've talked about it in this context before, but I can't remember. But you know what? Every consumer product that's ever been created is limited edition.
It is.
There's only going to be so many made.
It's a shelf life to everything.
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 Even a Toyota Corolla.
Yep.
You know what? They only made so many 2012 Toyota Corollas.
That's
and
right.
If you really like the 2012,
nope.
I'll sell it to you for 30 grand.
They only made that for a year.
That's
right. Only made for 1 year.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is we need to put the year on all of our pedals to immediately create limited edition.
Yes. Yes, just like this Stanley utility knife I'm holding up. This is a limited version, only made in 2004, and you can't buy these anymore. Not 2004 versions.
Not 2004, and because in 2005 they slightly changed the thread pitch that clamps down the. Yep. So and it's not quite the same.
Yeah, totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds totally different now.
It sounds way different. Way different. Way 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 different. This comb right here. You know what? They only produced this comb in 2018. This one right here.
You should put that on reverb.
It was part of a 50-pack that I got at CVS.
Only 50 made.
Only 50 made in that batch. In that batch, you know?
I haven't seen a comb like that since the 1970s. Have you been wrapping it in toilet tissue and trying to make a budget kazoo out of it?
No, I do this with it.
You imagine if you had to go to A&E and they had to remove it.
After you do that with the comb, do you then use that on your head? Because that's kind of disgusting.
Well, the thing is you got to make sure all hairs are groomed equally.
That was hair?
We used to have it growing on our heads, but it's slowly retreating southwards.
Oh, I mean, I have some, but it usually falls towards my back. So, know, for some reason.
I mean, I think, Bri,
again, what with you the skullet reference,
is you should put a TikTok video up showing your collection of screwdrivers and be like, hey, I hear you're like biased trim pots. Well, look at these screwdrivers. I can bias more trim pots than anybody else can. And then we start selling our bolt conversion kit, where they effectively send you a JHS bolt. You randomly twiddle one of the trim pots and send it back and say it's a limited edition.
Someone opened up their taco and then measured the voltages and posted what the voltages were. So now you can take a bolt and rebias them.
It's called
them.
The super bolt.
Whatever right? It's called.
Yeah.
The
super bolt. I don't remember. Wait. Well, I can't remember. Don't quote me on that.
Whatever.
It's good. Over the here, one we with call the little lightning bolt.
So.
Oh, no.
I don't know what you mean by that. But anyways, yeah. So someone's posted the voltages. And so now any old person with a multimeter
or a young
and a screwdriver
person.
Or a young person.
Say, why do they got to be old? That's not fair.
Because whenever I was your age, we didn't have trim pots. Anyways, so you can take these voltages and you know make your JHS Super Bolt pedal sound non-biased as well.
Yeah, but it won't have a taco on it. So
it won't have a taco. But you know what you can do is buy a sticker of a taco. And put it on your pedal.
Or you can take it to Taco Bell and just throw one on top of it.
Or just put a taco, lay a taco on the pedal, yeah, one or the other.
Because it's fine. No, that's gonna have some interesting repercussions, that whole scenario. We'll see how that one plays out, I guess. But what else have I got for you this week?
It's interesting that there's so many companies doing these limited runs, though.
Yeah, it's not new. That's the thing. The company's been doing limited runs forever.
They have. My theory is because attention spans are so much shorter. Everything is now a limited run because you put a pedal out this year and by this time next year, it's completely forgotten because 4,000 other companies have put out products.
I mean, again, not wanting to name names, I have seen a lot of boards through the 5 or 6 years I've been working with you, Bri, like I've seen a lot of people's boards and like this year it's all this flavor of pedal and then next year it's all that flavor of pedal and then it changes continually, which is a very good thing because it keeps us in business. Whereas I'm more of a kind of, I find the sound I want and then I'm done. I'm like, I have not changed my main board other than like one or two floating pedals. Like I've got my new Fuzz, I've put my boost pedal on it, but generally I've been running the Gearbox, the Ego Mini, which is about to change to an Ego 76 or be augmented by, I should say, the Plexi Mini, the Terraform and the Metaverse, and that's it. Literally, that's the core of my sound and it covers everything. And I just haven't really found, I've tried lots of different pedals out, just none have found their way onto my board as being like core sounds of my board.
Some of us, though, and myself very much included in this, are, I'm just an enthusiast for this kind of stuff. I like to collect it. I like to have it. And, you know, that's part of the fun for me. It doesn't always have to be the perfect use case. Like, why am I collecting all of those old, like my new thing? I was on a 7 series kick for a long time. I got most of the ones of that series that I wanted. I didn't necessarily want the whole series, but I wanted a lot of them. And now I'm on to the old PV that looks like a Reebok Pump It Up shoe pedal.
Oh, those were cool back in the day, man.
Yeah, well, first of all, that chorus is insane. That chorus sounds awesome. But
do I remember this correctly? Aren't they a little bit fragile, though?
Those?
Yeah.
No.
I remember. The PVs. Maybe there was a knockoff. You're talking the ones with like the little bulge.
Yes.
Yeah.
They look I heard you were a fan of a little
like
bulge.
The Reebok. It reminds me of the Reebok pump on the old sneakers.
Exactly.
Richard, do you remember that? I don't know if Blake does, but
that's what I've been referring to them as since we brought it up.
Yeah. He literally said, Brian, it's almost as if you don't ever listen to us ever.
I didn't hear that part. I'm sorry.
He responded to it.
I have a.
He was on autopilot.
I didn't hear the Reebok part. I have been told I have a little bit of an attention deficit disorder.
Squirrel! Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm hearing my echo here. Why am I hearing echo?
You probably heard it come through the headphones, see, because I have headphones on, but it's next to my microphone. And so if you yell real loud, it comes out really loud. See, watch. Say something.
That's science.
See?
We need a pedal that does that. Wait a minute. Can we recreate the exact sound of an echo through Riverside and we can call it the Riverside?
The Riverside Reco. The Riverside Echo.
The Riverside Rectify. Wait, fair. No, that's a...
It would sell. Oh no, that's Riverdale. I was going to say it would sell to Archie fans.
I think that's already a Strymon pedal. Do they have a Riverside?
Oh yeah,
they do. It's a drive. Yeah,
yeah, yep. They do. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yep, they took our idea. So somebody send a cease and desist. We want that idea.
Come, hey, Strymon, give it to me.
One article I picked up this week, though, completely changing the tangent once again, but in a guitar focus, is Gibson retain value in the secondhand market way more than Fender do on a like-for-like price level. In fact, the best bargains in the guitar world are with Fender Stratocasters because there's just so many that get moved on. And I think that's an interesting kind of slice of probably one of the first guitars most people go for is probably a Fender Stratocaster. So I reckon most people will give it up and move it on within a year. Very few people stick with playing the guitars. I wonder if that's why there is a glut of them in the secondhand market.
That is interesting. I wonder, is it that there are so many more Strats and Strat style guitars produced? I mean, there are a fair bit of Les Pauls, but yeah, I wonder or is it just the fact that most Gibsons are higher priced to begin with?
Maybe it's just price because people will buy Strats because they're cheaper first.
Have you guys seen the price of an American Strat these days? Don't be thinking they're much American cheaper. Strat,
but keep in mind, you know, four or five years ago, you could get a Mexican Strat, a decent one for like $500 or $600.
Not anymore. That's not anymore now.
Yep.
So I'll be intrigued to see how this curve continues because this was they didn't do this over the last year's sales, I don't think. But I've always thought of Gibsons as more valuable instruments anyway. So part of it is the perception because there definitely are $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 Fenders in the lineup, right?
You know, that is an interesting point. Gibson have, generally speaking, this isn't true across the board, but they've always been a higher end instrument. Like you never seen when Gibson started releasing more affordable instruments, they put it out under Epiphone, right? Or Orville or a different brand. Whereas Fender, while they do have Squire, but they've had Mexican Strats and things in that price bracket with the Fender logo on them.
Yeah.
So the fact that Gibson's never really done that outside of a few like, you know, Les Paul Juniors and things like that. It does kind of elevate the brand because they never
are you AI? Produce that. You've used the word elevate. Out. Get out.
Well, let's delve into this a little more, shall we?
We're going to produce some serious synergy with this one.
That's acceptable. That's an acceptable word.
That's just because you do work for a company under the same name.
That is because I do work for a company of the same name. And
wait, do you work for an AI company?
Maybe.
Is it even a real company that you work for?
No.
I didn't think so.
No, you know, I made it up.
Honest question. What happens whenever all the AI stuff catches up to the podcast world and then there's 90% of podcasts are just AI made? Complete.
I think the same thing that I do about musicians is like most people aren't going to care. No one's going to care what an AI thinks about a topic.
Well, and again, I'll probably go into a bit more detail on the Patreon, but a lot of this played into the whole Kate Middleton thing that happened in the UK. So last week I talked about the conspiracy theories. I think I did it on the Patreon around Kate Middleton.
He's on the Patreon.
And in the week that's passed, she came onto TV at like 6 o'clock on Friday, all the channels like went dead and it's like special news announcement. I was like, oh no, someone in Russia's pressed the button and I'm about to die. But it wasn't that. It was...
UFOs would stop it. You're safe.
Yeah, it's fine. UFOs will get... they save everything. But no, it was sad news that Kate Middleton, the Princess of Wales, who's only 40, has apparently had an operation and they found some cancerous cells. And so she's undergoing treatment. And, you know, even just I have no real love for the royal family. I have no real hatred for them. I'm indifferent to them. For me, they're a tourist attraction in the same way that Hollywood is a tourist attraction for you guys. But on a human level, anybody getting any disease is a horrible, horrible thing. And life-changing, and when there are kids are involved. So I was like, well, I guess that's going to put an end to all of the conspiracy theorists saying that she's AI. Oh, my gosh.
Silly you. Ugh. Silly you, Richard.
It's gone insane, Bri. Everyone is analyzing every little thing, going, look at this flower not moving. Must be an AI-generated video. Her lips are not perfectly synced. It's like, the BBC filmed it. Do you honestly believe that they're all in league with each other? And again, this is podcast Patreon material. Because the reality is apparently, yes, a lot of people do believe that everybody is in league with everybody.
Two words, three words, flat earth believers. Mm-hmm. That exists.
Yeah. Yeah, Brian, what about us? Uh-huh. What about us?
Wow. It's an existing... Yeah. Ideology.
There are dozens of us, literal dozens of us flat earth believers.
We will get into that on the Patreon. Now, bad news, you know, the Pod Express that last week I was saying, oh, looks like it might do the things I want. Apparently it doesn't do the things I want. Apparently the phone is just to like jam with or something. So,
well, there's got to be a boo. There's got to be a boo somewhere in here.
There's got to be a boo.
Oh, there it is.
Boo on you! Shame on you! A pox on your houses!
You have disappointed the British King of Fuzz. What's wrong with you, Line 6?
Off with their heads!
So, I saw the most amazing video today, which was Paul Gilbert jamming... Not one of your videos, Bryce.
I put a new video up on guitarpedalcourse.com, in case you're wondering.
I made a video with knights killing each other in it. Is that the one you're talking about?
No. I have watched Brian's DIY pedals, and I've got to say, listeners, and I'm not being paid to say this, I wish I was, it is fantastic. There is a lot of information in there. Trouble is it's Brian telling you it, and that just annoys me. Just why is he on my screen in my free time?
My reasons are just because. That's why. It's just because. You don't need to know why it does that. It just does.
But why, Brian? But why?
DIYers are going to dig your courses for sure.
Yeah, it's a good one for DIYers. Okay, so back to Paul Gilbert, the man who is in the music store and another person's dream came true.
So we were talking about, you know, like Guitar Center seemed to be upping their game and improving their stores quite a bit. And we were talking about how, you know, what would we really want to see in guitar stores to bring more people into guitar stores? Because that's what we want. And we all kind of concluded it was like more of a multi-sensory experience. Like kind of mockingly said, I'd like it if every time you played a sick riff, the entire shop just stopped work and came over and started jamming with you. Well, this kind of nearly happened to some kid. He was jamming away Little Wing, and then behind him, and sadly, I don't think he's actually playing through the Pig Nose amp, but sat next to a Pig Nose amp jamming away in a 1980s Ibanez was Paul Gilbert of Mr. Big fame. And he did jam, and the kid was kind of like, what? Hold on a minute. I'm jamming with, oh, wait a minute. He looks like I should know him. I don't think he did, but yeah, isn't that the ultimate? Like, can you imagine going into a guitar shop and picking up a guitar you want to buy, jamming with it, and then somebody awesome, you know, like Mark Knopfler or David Gilmour or not Brian Wampler, definitely not Brian Wampler, but, you know, just someone awesome jamming with you. Actually, that'd be great.
Paul's a good dude, man. I can see him totally doing that. He's a good guy.
You got to see the video, Bri. It was really, really good.
Yeah, he's legitimately just one of the nicest people. Which you don't, I've said that before, you don't always get that in the professional musician world. Sometimes you do. This is one of the cases you do.
It's a real difficult one. He lives in Portland, and I have not met him yet. But I will.
What?
Dude, you got to meet Paul, man. Mm-hmm. How do you not know Paul living in the same town?
Hold on, isn't this
well,
exact...
because when I...
Isn't this like everybody thinks that I know everybody in England? Every time there's a funny meme about an English guy, it gets posted on our tone group, and everyone goes, hey, do you know this guy, Richard? I'm like, I live in a country of 60 million people, 70 million probably. It's unlikely yeah, that I've met everyone.
But you all
everyone.
Live in a 2-square-mile radius, so you have to have bumped elbows at some point.
2-square-mile radius, but how tall is it? That's the question.
Oh, that's true. You might be stacked on top of each other to the sky.
That's a frightening thought. Yeah, man, that Paul Gilbert video, you got to check it out.
I absolutely do. Yes. Did he play Daddy
We're
Brother
not allowed to talk about
Diddy.
Oh, sorry. Oh, well, wait. What? What?
No. You know, did he do the intro to
You're doing
Daddy
it again.
Brother Lover?
No, stop it. Stop it.
But did he? Did Mr. Gilbert play any Mr. Big?
No, he was playing Little Wing Bry. You probably hate Jimi Hendrix too, right? Oh, who's this bore?
Hendrix is all right. Stevie Ray's it. Stevie Ray's okay. A lot better at it at Little Wing than Jimmy is, but you know.
Hold on.
You've just destroyed our listenership. I can hear people unsubscribing right now.
I'm gonna have a conniption fit.
Yeah, except for Texas Pete. Texas Pete has just joined Patreon.
Oh,
everyone else, they've left.
The next magazine interview comes out next week. Brian Wampler says that Jimi Hendrix is the devil. What? What the hell are you talking? I didn't say that.
Nope, it says it right here.
Shit. It's in right quotations. It's true.
That's
in
right.
Quotations.
It's like, wait a minute. They actually are going to say that now because you just said it.
Right. So, literally did say it out of context.
Like, we'll be like, oh, well, Brian's voice said it. It's on the podcast right here. Therefore, we can print it.
Ah, the danger of recording your voice every week.
Oh, jeez. People don't understand, like, these podcasts that we do. This is just like a spur-of-the-moment type of conversation.
Oh, you mean you guys don't have a big script like I do? I have a big script here. That
oh,
I'm,
do you? Oh,
yeah, okay. It's all planned out. Yeah. I plan out every word.
It's like whenever I've done several interviews past week, and I keep getting the question like, what's your favorite pedal? I'm like, this literally changes second by second. So whatever I say now, in 5 minutes, I'm going to change my mind. And
Shouldn't you have like a like clever, witty response just lined up like, my next release, which is guaranteed to sell out because it's a limited edition. Shouldn't you just say that every time someone asks you? Just use it as an opportunity for some cheap marketing.
I probably should. My limited edition Riverside Echo. That's amazing.
Hey, Brian, this is Captain Stryman. You can't use that word. That's ours. Can't have it.
Captain Stryman sounds a little bit like what's the
choose your words
guy?
Carefully, Oliver.
L. Ron Hubbard.
The captain.
Captain Stryman.
Read my book Dianetics. It's a great read.
Has anyone ever seen Captain Stryman and Tom Cruise in the same room together? I doubt it.
Captain Stryman and Tom Cruise sounds like a comic book. Yeah.
I love the idea.
Adventures of guys, Captain Stryman and Tom Cruise.
Guys, I know we're having fun, but we're already 50
in
minutes.
In Diddy Land. Oh, no, wait a minute. That will get us cancelled.
What is with you and Diddy?
Right, well, I'm going to go and meet a man about a pizza and a gate.
Well, you know what? Without our executive producers, you wouldn't have a pizza nor a gate.
That's right.
No?
Nope.
Who's reading it this
week? Is that my clue to start? Am I supposed to start reading or something?
I don't know. Big, huge shout out to Bill Bays, Justin Burke, David Tindall, Knight Haas, Dave Trombetti, Shannon Weaver and the band Reduced to Rust, Eric Wilson, VR Frosted, Michael Freer, Sean Arbo of Gun Street Wiring, Rick Calhoun of Honey Picks, Pete I lost my place. Patrice Fournaise, Dylan Toxtone, Kevin Harrington. Kevin Harrington, too. Scientific Uppercut, Barry from Grez Guitars, Tom Kelly, Jake Young of Man the Helm Pop. I can't speak today.
I'll take over from here. Pigsy, John O'Neill, Robert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Rob Stokes, El Gibberito, Nick Spano, Sasha Sir, Jay Stratton, Seth Williford.
Hey, Prost.
Come on, Mike. Harvey Pedals, Allison Carroll, Patrick Zeller, Bum Laser, Anthony Stevens, Chris Brown, Philip Carter of the 40 Watt Podcast, Mark Bauman, Christopher Logan, Jackson, Dinkle, Dr. Crowhawk, Dylan Lewis, and Josh.
Josh! It's Josh Scott.
Might be.
Bye. See you on Patreon.
Later, Hosen.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Dome podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, simply email info@tonemob.com and Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Also, check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. And make sure you check out WamplerPedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, twice the amount of podcast episodes, simply check out our Patreon at patreon.com/ChasingTonePodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.